Welcome to the Intimate Marriage Podcast, where I teach educated, successful couples how to have incredible, passionate relationships so that you can stop compromising and start feeling fully alive in your relationship. I'm your host, Alexandra Stockwell, AKA the Intimacy Doctor. I'm a physician and an intimate marriage expert. My husband and I have been married for 26 years. We have 4 children and full professional lives, and we've created an amazing relationship. I've shown hundreds of couples how to do so as well. So if you want to deepen your understanding of your own relationship and learn to access new heights of emotional, sensual, and erotic intimacy, you're in the right place. I will show you how. So let's dive in. So glad you're back for another episode of the Intimate Marriage Podcast. And as the title suggests, we are focusing today on how and why and all of the wherefores related to stopping compromising. If you follow me on Facebook, or if you're in my Facebook group, if you follow me on Instagram, if you're on my email list, you know that I talk a lot about uncompromising intimacy. In fact, it's the name of my book, right up in the title, Uncompromising Intimacy. In this podcast, I'm going to define uncompromising intimacy, and then I'm really going to dial down more than I typically do into the real problems with compromise. There are a few that I mention commonly, but I want to take you deeper behind the scenes of the damage that is done, mostly unintentionally, by people who compromise in their relationships. Okay, so how did I come to uncompromising intimacy? Why do I even use that term? Here is why. Compromise is far and away the most common relationship advice that is given. People will tell you, if you want a great marriage, you have to be good at compromising. Compromising is the name of the game. The thing is that when you compromise, and we're going to get into this more a little bit later, you basically are holding back parts of yourself from the relationship. You're not expressing your thoughts, feelings, desires, experiences, and dreams out of consideration for what you think will be more comfortable for your partner. And when I talk about uncompromising intimacy, I'm talking about the passionate, glorious, nourishing, adventurous, steady, pulsing, fantastic, juicy intimacy, which is built on being your whole self and bringing your whole self to your relationship. You're not leaving some part outside when you walk in the door of your home. You're not letting some aspect of yourself find fulfillment elsewhere. Sure, of course that can happen, but not because you can't bring it into interactions with your partner. In uncompromising intimacy, you learn how to share the fullness of who you are, your thoughts, your feelings, the sensations you want to experience, both sensually and otherwise. It doesn't mean it's all going to happen. Absolutely not. Your partner is a sovereign being with full consent, and this is not some kind of menu where you're placing an order and it's your partner's responsibility to fulfill that. Absolutely not. But even if it doesn't happen, it feels completely different to be able to express what you want to your partner and have your partner know you as a man or a woman who desires that. And honestly, much more often than not, what you desire will be able to happen, either because your partner surprises you and is up for it, Or because when the two of you are really accepting of yourselves and one another, you can create solutions that you can't imagine on your own, but together, when you get to the essence of what is important, oh, then all kinds of things can happen. And just the process of sharing yourself and being received contributes and fuels your intimacy. So uncompromising intimacy is glorious, and it takes intentionality, and it is one of the main things that I teach in each of my programs. It's not a skill or a way of being, which is commonly understood and implemented. But what is commonly understood and implemented is the principles of compromise. What isn't understood is the real problems, but the value of compromise, it's widely understood in our culture. And in fact, despite believing it is really detrimental to passionate marriages, compromise gets in the way of building real intimacy. Right now, I'm about to make a case for compromise in the way that should be familiar to you. So the reason to compromise is because you prioritize avoiding conflict, you prioritize keeping your partner happy, you prioritize having good vibes between you, you prioritize not rocking the boat, you prioritize not messing with something that's working well. You learn to let go so you can just move on. These are the beautiful reasons why people think compromise is good. There are so many problems with this approach, and the one that I really want to emphasize first is that when you become oriented to compromise, it becomes second nature. You become so skillful at it that you do it essentially unconsciously. You become very competent at compromise that you don't even realize when you're doing it, because it's just kind of part of the way that you move through your relationship. When you do that, as so many, 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 many people do, even though I don't for a minute take for granted if you're one of them that you necessarily have recognized this in your life before, but it is very common. When I speak with someone who has been living this way, I've spoken with many women who, through our conversation, come to understand the major and the minor and the very frequent compromises she's making. I will say to her, okay, let's disrupt the pattern of compromise and prioritizing your partner's needs and desires as you perceive them. And then I ask, what do you want? And I really couldn't count the number of times that the woman who's good at compromising and therefore has a pretty put-together looking marriage, how many times when I ask her that, her response is, I don't know. Her eyes will open and she looks at me and says, I really don't know. And you might be amazed. This is a woman with 3 children. She's had orgasms in her life. She has a thriving career. She's educated. But when we dial down and I ask her, kind of in the tone of voice that I'm using, I'm not saying like, what do you want? And she's going to pick the floral pattern for the drapes in her dining room. No, no, she knows how to make those decisions. I'm talking about What do you want to feel in your relationship? How do you want to be touched? How long do you want your husband to look into your eyes while you speak? These kinds of questions that have to do with attention to the realm of feeling and how we engage our five senses and our body. These are the questions that she has no idea what she wants. And it is specifically a consequence of compromising, because the very nature of compromise is that you are turning away from what you want. And when you do that often enough, it's like a muscle that isn't used and it starts to atrophy. The same thing applies not with our desires, but with our awareness of what our desires are. If we're not putting attention on what we desire, they sort of get buried and we have to move through a bunch of sludge to find them again. I myself used to be this way. I remember the very first time that a teacher in a class I was in, it was at the School of Womanly Arts, and my assignment was to write a desire list. And I sat down to write it, and the things that I could figure out to write were, I desire to clean up my kitchen. I desire to get this done. I desire to get that done. Those are not the kind of desires that I am talking about today. That's more of a to-do list, quite frankly, and I felt pretty good about putting things on my to-do list. I was confident with that. I'm talking about a desire list where you could really listen for what is arising inside you that may be surprising, it may be logical, it may be totally illogical, because we do not choose what we desire. We only choose how we respond. And there are a lot of different ways to respond to our desires, and one of them is by ignoring them, which is what we are doing when we compromise. I have a client who read a book that she really appreciated and she recommended it to me, and I went ahead and read it too. It's kind of an amazing book by a very experienced divorce attorney who's written a book, I think it's called If You're in My Office, It's Too Late. Anyway, he's had hundreds and hundreds, thousands of clients. He's done all kinds of divorce cases, all kinds of different scenarios. He claims that you can't shock him with a new context, a new lie. He's seen it all. And when he boils down what it is that leads to divorce, or expressed in the flipped way, what it is that is essential to have a great marriage, he says it is to know what you want and know how to ask for it. And I completely agree. I have come to that from a very different path, never having been a divorce attorney or anything remotely similar. But that is absolutely my assessment as well, that what it takes to have a juicy, intimate marriage is to know what you want and know how to ask for it. And that, by the way, is what I am pointing at when I talk about uncompromising intimacy and when I talk about the very real, not theoretical, extremely common negative consequences that come from compromising. As it happens, I have recently met with three different couples. I say recently, they were all about 6 to 12 months ago. Each of these couples had a completely different scenario But in each of them, they had had long-lasting, good, stable marriages where both parents were extremely devoted to the children and to having a harmonious, successful family. And each of the husbands in these three couples, they actually knew what they wanted, but did not know how to ask for it. One of the men probably wasn't so clear on what he wanted. But let's just say that the issue that all three of these men had in common is that they did not know how to express to their wives what they wanted. They didn't know how to even begin the conversation. And in all three of these situations, they ended up turning elsewhere. One began a full-on loving romantic affair with someone. Another one hired prostitutes on a regular basis with no connection whatsoever. And the third one basically had casual sex with women he picked up in bars. In all three of these cases, when the wives found out, it had been going on for different lengths of time. Some were more recent, some had been going on for a while, but either way, when the wives found out, these men were so profoundly remorseful. All three of them never, ever, ever wanted to cause the pain and suffering that they were causing their wives, themselves. Sometimes the children knew, sometimes they didn't, depending on the ages, whatever. The point is that these men, when their wives found out, had this wake-up call and got clear, each in their own way, that actually what they wanted was to improve certain aspects of their marriage, but they had no idea how to express their needs, and such a strong fear of conflict that they opted not to and engaged in compromise instead. And by compromise, I mean that they didn't express things for fear that it would upset their wives. But that only lasted for so long because their needs and desires were stronger than what they could handle. I really don't mean to be focusing on what their decision-making process is, and I can't speak to that. I haven't addressed that with all three of them, and they didn't all go on to become my clients, so I just can't address that part. But what I can say for sure is that if all three of these men had learned to be really clear what they want and know how to ask for it, thus participating in uncompromising intimacy, things would be a lot simpler and a lot happier in theirs and their wives and their children's lives right now. I've given the example of the men mostly because I think I often talk about women not knowing what it is that they want, and that is definitely a widespread problem. But the conditioning that women receive in putting their needs and desires aside and compromising and then not knowing what it is that they want, that whole scenario comes from a certain conditioning. And in the case of good men who love and are devoted to their wives, the conditioning is completely different. It has much more to do with the fact that in society, there are always exceptions, and maybe this is starting to change, but anyway, as a society in general, we raise boys to disconnect from their emotions and expressing them and attending to and paying attention to them. We essentially raise boys to be less emotionally intelligent than they need to be in order to know what they want and be able to ask for it in an emotionally intelligent manner with their spouse. So let me just say, once again, these are absolutely learnable skills, and I'm going to start teaching the skills in the upcoming episodes that you can use to build a really juicy, passionate, intimate marriage, to be able to live the principles of uncompromising intimacy. But before we did that, it was so important to get really clear on what really is at issue with compromise, because in the moment, it absolutely can feel like the easier choice. But take it from me, having worked with hundreds and hundreds of couples, you're not actually doing yourself any favors to compromise on your desires. Maybe in the short term, like, you know, if your partner is exhausted, go ahead and compromise for the evening, but then make sure to bring it up when you've got something to say before too much time has passed. Don't let it lay buried indefinitely. And for now, consider, do you know what you want? Do you know what you desire within your relationship, within the experience in your marriage? And if you do, do you know how to bring it up in a way that is respectful of the relationship, is in integrity and true to your desires, and also well-calibrated and kind to your partner? Because if you have challenges with either one of those, be sure to keep listening to the upcoming episodes. I can't wait to dive in and teach you how to make this all work for you so that you can enjoy juicy, beautiful intimacy. If you enjoyed this episode of the Intimate Marriage Podcast, share it with someone who also wants more joy and more pleasure in their marriage. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, as that helps to spread my message. And if you're ready to deepen your relationship and create a truly intimate, delicious, and vibrant marriage, head over to theintimatemarriagepodcast.com to get started. Thank you for joining me on this episode. See you next time.